This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour on a crazy trading day. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, 12:49 today. It is Stock Picker Monday. We'll see if there's anything we should be looking at. When you see a market drop like this, it's often a buying opportunity. In the coming days, the latest policy statement from the Fed. Let's talk about that. And also the wild ride. Tom Hudson is here, the Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Tom, I mean, not going to get too deep into the weeds here on stocks, but when you have this sort of volatility, when you have a big drop like this, many people panic. And yet this is also where some people make their money.
It's a reminder that stocks can go up, they can go sideways, and they can go down, right? And sometimes they can go down by quite a bit, pretty fast. And that's kind of what's happening here. And we're seeing a lot of selling pressure, of course. I mean, there's really only one place of protection right now in the stock market, the S&P 500, the utilities group, a traditional defense area. But the big high-flying names, right? Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, Amazon, down by 2.5% or more. And these are places that had significant gains over the past 90 days plus, where we saw prices over the summertime continue to hit record after record high. So yeah, worries about the commercial real estate market in China, contagion effect, the taper talk, the Delta variant slowing down the economy. But ultimately, it's also some profit-taking, right? Folks just pulling some of this risk tolerance off the table today. And it's striking because it has happened fast.
And what often happens, and this is maybe a lesson for newer investors, is there's that profit-taking, and then they kind of look around and they look for opportunities to redeploy that money.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So for those folks that are taking some profit off the table today, where is that money going to go over the next few days or the next few weeks? A few weeks would be considered patient in this market, right? It'd be maybe in the next few hours, given how fast things have been moving as of late. And where are the buying opportunities? Are we going to see some sector rotation that we thought we saw some hints of just a few weeks ago into more value-oriented plays? Or is it going to be back to growth, back to technology, back to trying to buy, you know, Apple at on sale at 3% or Amazon on sale at 3.5% off compared to where it was on Friday?
So let's talk about the Fed. What could the Fed do given this sort of volatility and really volatility in the wider economy?
Yeah, I the Fed does not like to be bullied by the market, certainly. And the Federal Reserve has been very consistent and very clear for weeks now, both as a organization, as an entity, but also individual, especially regional Federal Reserve presidents, about their interest in beginning to taper back. In other words, reduce the amount of mortgage and government bonds that the Federal Reserve has been buying each and every month. But not to do it right away. Right, to do it slowly, introducing that slowly to the market through their communications over the past several weeks, and then beginning to put a timestamp on it, perhaps with the communication that it has later on this week. So it's not going to be any shock to the system for any investor if the Federal Reserve continues to stick in lockstep with what the communications has been, which is it is preparing, getting ready to begin to slowly reduce its monetary support of the economy.
Does the Fed really maybe often put itself in a position where if it does anything drastically differently than what people are expecting, then there's the panic because we go, what does the Fed know that we don't know?
Yeah, that's right. It's like pulling up to one of those five road interchanges in Chicago and thinking you have to do a soft right, but then realizing you got to do a hard right, right? You're kind of going to be jostled around a little bit. Federal Reserve's not interested in any of that. It wants to forecast way ahead what it plans to to do. And, you know, a stock market drop of 2 or 3%, while jarring for investors and painful, no doubt about it, I don't think it's going to materially change the Federal Reserve's outlook for the economy, both for price stability and achieving full employment.
That's Tom Hudson. Good to talk with you. Week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services. Coming up at 12:31, we'll find out if there's maybe any bargains with stocks dropping like this, areas to redeploy some of that money. Just ahead, Greg Hines of Crain's Chicago Business weighs in. Mayor Lightfoot laying out her spending plan for the coming fiscal year. Mayor Lightfoot has delivered her budget address to the city council, including plans for a huge chunk of federal COVID relief funding. We welcome Greg Hines, columnist. You read him in Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, kind of give us a thumbnail sketch here of what the mayor wants done.
Well, the thumbnail sketch is that unlike last year when the city was going into COVID and didn't know how it was going to pay the bills and had to do some really difficult things, this time the mayor has the advantage of $2 billion in her pocket, courtesy of Uncle Sam, on the latest COVID relief bill known as the American Recovery Plan. And she today used a good chunk of that money to shore up her regular budget and another huge chunk to call for all kinds of social welfare spending, the kinds of things that progressives who have been after her have really been calling for. Violence prevention, affordable housing, youth services, aid to families, there's even a trial program to give a monthly check to certain low-income people. It's the kind of thing that that will buy off some of the mayor's critics, and I suspect help her if, as expected, she seeks a new term a little over a year and a half from now.
So what happens, I mean, I guess this is 1 year and one shot of money from Washington. It seems like then there's just going to be problems the year after that.
Well, that's the $2 billion question, Cisco, and it's certainly the first at the top of my list when the mayor comes in before our editorial board, which she's going to be nice enough to do later today. You're right. I mean, some of the money is going for one-time expenditures, which is a proper use of one-time money, flood prevention programs, for instance, tourism promotion program. But a lot of these are for programs where the need is real, and it's not going to end after this year, which raises, as you correct, suggest the question, well, golly gee, how you going to pay for it next year?
Yeah. What about property taxes? I mean, that's just never politically palatable, is it?
No. The mayor brags in her speech that there's no tax increases. That's kind of true, but there's an asterisk. The asterisk is that under actions that have already occurred, already been taken by the city council, property taxes now are linked to inflation for the first time. In addition, there's some the city is going to claim money from new construction, and the city had approved a multi-year appropriation to pay for a capital program. You add all that together, and it's just under $70 million in additional property taxes that the taxpayers as a whole will be paying next year that they're not paying this year. So there's kind of a tax increase, but it's not a newly enacted tax increase.
Good insight, as always. Thank you so much. That's Greg Hines. You read him in Crain's Chicago Business, both online and in print. Up next, Peloton looks to new markets for its popular exercise bikes, hoping to bring them to a hotel room near you.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Equipment, exercise, equipment maker Peloton looking to expand beyond home fitness. We welcome Landon Luxemburg, an analyst at Third Bridge based in New York. Landon, help us to understand what Peloton's looking to do during the pandemic. I mean, home was everything for them. Now it seems like they want to move beyond that.
Absolutely, Cisco. Thanks for having me on again. Most definitely. I mean, we're seeing them looking to now hospitality for growth. Prior to the pandemic, however, and this is from talking to experts here, we knew Peloton was looking for growth in all these places. Namely, even you'd even be able to find them in residential gyms, right? So not just apartments themselves, but gyms. And one reason that they seem to have de-emphasized that back then is and this is pure speculation here from experts, is there were concerns around wear and tear on the equipment side. Now that's a bit probably changed given the Precor acquisition, which closed back in April. And of course, alongside with that acquisition, they brought the commercial equipment prowess. So likely they're now in a position to penetrate the hospitality industry, which of course, if you look at the leisure industry in general, the leisure segment of the hotel industry is leading that recovery. And of course, as people begin to travel again and such, it's probably an indicator that they want to become omnipresent. They want to increase stickiness. They want to not just enable for you to sign into your Peloton at home, but also outside of the home. So that's definitely a move to increase that stickiness there.
That's really attractive, I would imagine, to people who have a bike at home, they pay for the service, and then they go on the road maybe for a week and they say, hey, I don't want to give up my workouts. This would make it so they don't have to.
Absolutely, Cisco. And we're seeing other companies make very similar moves, or at least having attempted very similar moves. One such player is Tonal, which, of course, just, you know, if you look at their website, they also have a hotel finder where you could find them in hotels across the country. So it's definitely no surprise that this is definitely the next phase of growth for a player like Peloton. And again, just growing and increasing their presence across, again, out in the home and outside of the home.
And so you would imagine that this is something that hotel chains would be really interested in, because it potentially attracts customers that might go somewhere else.
Absolutely. And even looking at Peloton's demographics, you'd likely be more compelled to book a hotel that again is providing you with that experience outside of your home. There is still a level of consistency that you're looking for. And even just anecdotally, I've been a subscriber to Boutique Fitness. I would do Barry's Bootcamp in New York, and I wanted to do Barry's Bootcamp in Europe, and it was there for me. So definitely grew that level of loyalty for me, and I believe that's something that Peloton is also looking for.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Landon Luxembourg. He is an analyst with Third Bridge in New York. Still ahead, a contrarian view of financial markets as they continue tumbling today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The federal government is making changes to travel rules for visitors from other countries. The COVID vaccine could be available for children 5 to 11 years old before the end of the year. Stocks taking a big dive to begin the week. We'll get perspective on longer-term prospects from a veteran market observer. And it's Stock Picker Monday. A couple of ideas from an investing pro at 1249. On the markets, the Dow down 763 points, the NASDAQ down 394, and the S&P is down 99 points. Oil today is down 2%. We have some light rain moving through the area, scattered rain showers, 72 degrees. We're heading to a high of 80 degrees. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The U.S. government will relax some of the restrictions on foreign travel that were put into place during the early days of the pandemic. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy reports new vaccine and testing mandates are also part of the plan.
White House COVID czar Jeff Zients says the new policy for international travelers will take effect in early November. It lifts the existing bans on travel, but it imposes new requirements.
It will require foreign nationals to be vaccinated.
And those flying to the U.S. will have to test negative for COVID and provide information for contact tracing.
We envision a strong contact tracing system.
Zients says the policy will apply only to air travelers, not to those crossing the land borders with Canada and Mexico. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Pfizer says its COVID vaccine works in elementary school age kids, and the company will soon seek emergency use approval.
In testing kids ages 5 to 11, Pfizer used a much lower dose than the one given now. And Senior Vice President Dr. Bill Gruber says the kids still developed virus-fighting antibody levels just as strong as those in people ages 16 to 25, whom he says the vaccine protects.
Having matched that antibody response, we're likely to match the protection.
Gruber says Pfizer aims to submit its data to the FDA by month's end, amid what he calls pent-up demand among many parents, anxious for their kids to be protected and have a normal childhood.
I see this as urgent.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
It's 12:32.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets deep in the red. The Dow down 764. The NASDAQ down 395. And the S&P down 98 points. Let's find out what's going on. Michael Palumbo is here, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Michael, what do you make of this drop today?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco, and thanks for having me on. I think we have to have a perspective here that this drop looks bad because in point totals, because we're so high in numerically now in these indices, they look terrible. Like the S&P is now down 100. Well, yeah, when the S&P was trading 2,000, that's 5%. But right now, that's a 2% drop. The S&P is still less than 5% off its all-time high, so we're not even in correction territory. So this, you look at it two ways. You say, okay, this isn't that bad, or, hey, there's a lot more that could happen. And I would tend to be on that second category as far as what I think could happen, just because I feel there's too many weak hands that are holding a lot of these meme stocks, these high volatility, high beta type names like Bitcoin, GameStop, and things like that. And you know, they're going to be the ones that are going to, you know, choke it out at the wrong time. And that type of situation, that scenario could play out over the next few weeks. But having said that, I always have been an advocate on your show and with friends and people that ask me. I have people ask me on the street, you know, what should we do right now? Well, I always say put 5 to 15% in crypto, put 30 to 50% in equity, put 20 to 30% in bonds, but make sure that rest of that, which is, you know, 10 to 20%, should be in cash. And if you're in cash right now, at that level, you have bullets. And these are the times you use the bullets, you know. Knowing that this may be just the start of a little bit worse of a pullback, but this is definitely at least a time you can get in there and nibble on some of these names that have been hit that maybe are still high-quality names. Like Apple, for instance, which is down a decent amount over the last few weeks, that probably just got thrown out with the bathwater and is probably just fine. So I would just stay away, as I've said on your show many times, stay away from the meme stocks, stay away from the the crazy names. You can have Bitcoin, you can have crypto in small amounts as a part of a diversified portfolio, but you know, go with the names that are more boring. The Dollar Generals, which we've mentioned, AMD, which we've mentioned. Those are types of names that we like here, and we think that you can accumulate more here. It's just, you know, we do think there's probably a little bit more coming, though. And you've got the Fed speaking Wednesday, and when they do, there's a lot of worry. But I do think that might set up for a rally, because I think we sell into this Fed meeting, and then when we get stuff from Powell that isn't so bad, it sets up for a possible rally. So we might at least get a short-term rally back in midweek here. That's what I think is going to happen, at least short-term.
Well, it's a good reminder that when a day like this happens, and as you say, this may not be the last day here this week that it's kind of rough, instead of panicking, instead of worrying, it's time to look around and say, hey, where should I redeploy some of my money?
Yeah, unemotionally, look at what's out there, look at what's declined, and look at what is likely to come back. And I say this because these names that the Robinhood guys are buying are not the ones that you should be looking at. Okay, it should be good companies with great earnings potential that you should be looking at. And I mentioned Apple, but I mentioned AMD, Dollar General. Those are the names you look at in these situations. You don't just buy the stuff that just went down the most. The ones that went down the most probably are the ones that are going to stay down. And that's my opinion. You know, when I've seen these market cycles many times, that usually is what happens. And then you get the rally back in the names that weren't hit that bad because they're the quality names that really shouldn't have gone down to begin with. We're in a correction here of small cap names and high beta names. That started in February. It's going to continue for a while longer, but I don't think that's the area that you want to buy. I think that's the area you stay away from, and you go to the stocks that haven't been corrected much because they shouldn't have corrected.
Thanks so much. Always good insight from Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital. Just ahead, checking in on the future of the markets with longtime observer and contrarian Mark Hulbert.
In with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
You might think extreme bullishness by investors would be a good sign for stocks. Long term, though, market data shows the exact opposite of that assumption. Joining us with the latest, Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, I want to ask you about extreme bullishness, but first, on a day like today, where it seems like, I mean, you got all the major indexes down more than 2%, a lot of people are freaking out. Is this a day when a guy like you is looking for deals, thinking this is a good day?
Well, first, my employer doesn't allow me to start making deals anyway, since I can only invest in the mutual funds in my 401k. So I guess I can beg off trying to answer that impossible question. But as a contrarian normally would say, when everyone else is selling, it's a good time to buy. I guess in the current instance, though, I would probably hold off. And the reason is, as we've talked many times, actually, in recent weeks, there's a heck of a lot of bullishness out there, and it will only be after that bullishness has been wrung out of the market that a contrarian would say it's time to step up to the plate and take some pitches. And so we haven't seen that yet. There's still a huge, I guess the way to put it, is a sentiment that you should buy the dips. Now, something like today may help go a long way, actually, towards making people decide maybe they shouldn't be buying the dips. But every other correction we've seen over the last year and a half have turned out to be great buying opportunities. And since people tend to react to that most recent memory, that's probably still very salient among investor sentiment. And we're going to have to see perhaps more decline before we see that rung out of the market.
You have a lot of experts saying that there's going to be a pullback. And obviously today's a little rough, but we don't seem to have seen that on a wide scale over a period of time. Is that what people should be waiting for? It seems like the investors are not doing what the experts think they're going to do.
Well, that's right. There are two things I want to point out. One is experts have been predicting that there'd be a decline for as long as I remember, and someday they'll be right. And what I find interesting is even though they say they worry about a correction happening at any given time, they have not been increasing their cash position. So their actions are not consistent with their words. Words are cheap is the sort of the attitude I take, which is why when we measure sentiment, we actually look at what they're recommending to their clients, not the words that they use to describe their actions. And so
I think there's still a lot of bullishness out there, even among the very managers who are saying that they are worried about a correction. So in terms of what to look for, who knows how much of a market decline it'll take before people start getting worried. What we focus on is how much worry there is out there. It could be that today might be enough to cause a lot of widespread panic, in which case people might say, if you're a contrarian, that the bottom may be in sooner rather than later. But my guess is, given how much stubborn bullishness has been in the market for the last several months, it's going to take more before we actually see that that thoroughgoing despair that is actually a good buying opportunity.
Always good to hear from Mark Holbert, an investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday, still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Helping us out this afternoon, Shah Galani, Chief Investment Strategist at MoneyMorning.com. Shah, always appreciate you being on the show. What's your first pick today?
Hey, Cisco. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. First pick is something that's absolutely on sale, and it's a company I love, a stock I love. It's Rio Tinto. Symbol is RIO, one of the largest mining companies in the world. Just hits it out of the park in terms of revenues. It's a monumentally huge company, $58-plus billion revenue company, profit margins 32-plus percent. It's just everything about it is good. Cash flow is great. The product line is great. Their mines are secure. They have global operations, and they are on sale. This stock was at almost $96 on May 10th. It's now trading at $65.65 thereabouts. It's off 3.5%+. It was off 4% earlier today. I love it, Danny. It's way beyond below its moving averages. It's 250-day, but it's got support right here between 65 and 60. Love it. I think this is something to buy and hold for a long time. I think the stock's going to double in the next 2 years.
That's good. First one, Rio Tinto, ticker symbol RIO. What's your second pick?
Second one's a little bit, it's more fun. It's Bed Bath & Beyond, symbol BBBY. Again, to Cisco, this is a company that everybody has left for dead. It's continued to do well. The profit margin's tiny, to be sure. But this is an almost $10 billion revenue company. It makes net income is $100-plus million. It's got great cash position relative to its debt position. It's got tremendous cash flow to pay for its debt. And the thing I like about the kicker is, of the more than 97 million shares floating, about 44% have been shorted. That's a tremendous short position against this company's floating shares. And we know what happens when the Reddit crowd gets in, finds a company like this where the stock has been incessantly shorted. They chase it higher. It's happened twice before where Bed Bath & Beyond has soared. It's trading around 23.64 now. It's seen as high as 60. It's seen 40. So at 23.64 with a 44% short position, I like the company, period. I like it especially on account of the fact getting a pop. And for your listeners, this is, a fairly straightforward play. I like buying it here, period. But I would also put in a 100% profit target on it and leave it out there. And if the Reddit crowd comes in and bids this thing up, you take 100% profit all day long.
Good. Really good. Interesting information there. Rio Tinto is the first pick, RIO. Second one, Bed Bath & Beyond, BBBY. That's Shah Galani, the Monday Stock Picker for this week, Chief Investment Strategist at MoneyMorning.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.